doom and gloom about the restaurant industry. Oh, it's going to be terrible. Oh, you know, we're going to lose 85% of independent. And look, I've said a lot of these things on news shows myself these past few weeks. But you know what? The doom and gloom is starting to end now. And there are some statistical things going on in the restaurant industry that are pretty darn shocking.
I don't want to share someone else's thoughts. I want to create my own original thoughts. I want to create my own original solutions. I want to look at situations and come up with my own phrasing, my own words, and do it my way.
This is the John Taffer Podcast.
Shut it down.
Hello, everybody. I'm John Taffer. Thank you for tuning in, downloading my John Taffer Podcast. And here I am, second week. I'm sitting outside of Alpharetta, Georgia in my bus, working on Taffer's Tavern. And Corey, pretty cool stuff, buddy. Today, you know, we're watching construction. There's about two more weeks of construction left. And I'm out here with my six-person training team. And Corey, you're coming out next week, I believe, right?
I am, yeah. I'm excited.
So today, the floor went down. A lot of the finishes, wall finishes went up. So it's so much fun when you create something and it's all on paper and you start to see it materialize and become a three-dimensional thing. So it's sort of fun going over there every day, too, watching how the construction's coming along. But it's a pretty exciting time for Taffer's Tavern. We'll be open in about, give or take 3 weeks. But we're not doing a big grand opening, Corey. We don't do that. And even years ago, when I used to open all my restaurants, we never really did big grand openings. We always like to open more quietly. You know what I mean, Corey? Not slam everybody, not slam the kitchen. So we open a little quietly, let it build over a few weeks, and we think that's a good way to open. But pretty exciting. So I'm sitting here in my bus. I can't wait for tonight's Golden Knights game, Dallas Stars game. I'm pretty excited about that.
How's it living in the bus?
Oh, it's been great in a bus. You know, I've had this particular bus for 5 years, and I'm in a 43-foot bus. Maybe you can post a picture or two, Corey, of it for people. Okay. And it's got, you know, I have a nice master bedroom, a master bath, a half bath up front, and which is my bath. I get the half bath. My wife gets the full bath, of course. But I have a really nice living room and satellite dish. And you know what's interesting? I have DirecTV. And DirecTV gives you your local channels, Corey, right? But when you have local channels that are in Las Vegas and you take your tuner with you in your bus to Georgia, you have the Las Vegas affiliate of NBC in Georgia on your DirecTV listing, but you can't get that channel in Georgia. So you can't get the local channels distantly that way. So I have to use my broadcast antenna, but it's fine. Picture's been great. The game has been easy to get. The Knights have not been the team that you and I love so much, Corey. Been a little disappointing, but tonight's everything for hockey, for the Golden Knights. Either they're a win tonight and they live, or they lose tonight, and I put my Knights hat away till next year, Corey.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yep. So I'm here and I'm talking with my wife. And Nicole, my wife, I married my wife because I think she's one of the funniest women I've ever met. My wife is actually pretty funny. I'm sure you've seen it at times, Corey.
Oh, yeah. She's great.
And I always tell her she's pretty funny for a chick, and I say that with of course, complete jest. And this morning I was kidding around with her, and I made a comment to her. You know, I bet more husbands kill their wives than wives kill their husbands. So she goes, oh, yeah? So I went online. So I'm going to ask you this question, Corey, and this is, you don't know I was going to ask you this.
No.
What do you think the answer is? The more husbands kill their wives or the more wives kill their husbands? What do you think?
I'd probably go husbands.
Well, it is true. For every 100 husbands who kill their wives, there are 75 wives who kill their husbands. So I guess then we're about 25% or so, give or take a head.
Yeah.
But there's an exception. The city of Chicago, Detroit, and Houston, the statistics are much greater for women. Of course, my wife is from Chicago, so I got a big fucking problem here.
So if you disappear in the next couple of weeks, we'll know why.
You'll know why. But I thought it was interesting. For every 100 husbands who kill their wives, there's 75 wives who kill their husbands. So, guys, we're not safe. I just want everybody to understand that. Statistically, they are pretty damn close. So, pretty excited about Seltzer. Seltzer's doing great. We entered into another state. Louisiana is really doing well for us. And you know, I was very proud of the episode we did a couple weeks ago, Corey, on Hurricane Laura. We had Big Mike and Brad Bohannon on. And apparently we helped them raise some money. So there was some click-throughs and Cajun Navy. I got some dollars. So I thank all my listeners who donated to Cajun Navy. And I know those dollars really made a huge difference. So what do you guys think about NFL? And, you know, the ratings are down, Corey, almost 30%. Big drop in NFL ratings. And the boos at the beginning of the game, I don't know if you had a chance to see it, Corey, but at the beginning of the game, the boos were unbelievable for the various protests and demonstrations and communications and unity demonstrations and all the various things that they did. But it was clear that the fans did not like it. The boos were incredible. Then I'm not going to mention team names. I don't want to go there. I don't want to get any, but one team chose to stay in the locker room during the national anthem. And then when they came out, did you see what happened, Corey? Everybody booed them. Yeah. And I've been saying for 2 years that somehow we have to try to get politics out of sports, that somehow politics is divisive and sports shouldn't be. You know, Corey, the greatest thing about sports is it's homogeneous. Old, young, fat, skinny, black, white, it doesn't matter. You can love a team, you can hate a team. So I always found it interesting that the one thing that pulls us all together is sports, really pulls us all together. You know, when the Yankees are winning a championship, all New Yorkers are together on that. You know, when Houston's going to win a championship, all Houston's together on that. Why would they want to take the most homogeneous thing in America and infuse such divisiveness into it? So I've looked at how the NFL has introduced their season and how they've dealt with this, and I've watched the fan reaction, and it was pretty damn ugly. I think that they took it a little too far. I think that the message could have been done in a way that was less negative or less impactful upon the fan base that was there. I think that's a fair statement. When I look at NBA, their numbers haven't been great either on TV. And I think, you know, they've gotten a little too political. And then I look at hockey. And hockey made the statements they needed to make in the beginning. Right, Corey? They right. Clearly made their unity statements. They clearly canceled a couple of games. Clearly, they're unified in a positive messages of Black Lives Matter. Clearly, they're unified is trying to resolve any racial injustice. Clearly, the league is behind that. But yet, their numbers are up. And it's interesting, when you look at hockey has the highest numbers in 4 or 5 years. Football has some of the lowest. NBA is sort of scratching along. And it seems to me that the league who put the least politics into their sports is the league that's doing the best, relatively speaking. Mm-hmm. So I don't make this comment taking one political posture or another. That's not the comment I'm making. I'm simply saying that there's a place for things and there's a place where things shouldn't be. And, you know, I wouldn't have a political demonstration in the middle of an art gallery with 4-year-old or fourth grade students walking through it. That probably would be inappropriate. So there's a time and a place for everything. And I think that in these next few months, America is going to find that place. I think that the fans are going to push back on what they don't like we saw the other day, Corey. And I think that the leagues are going to adjust to the comfort level of the fans, or they're going to lose their fans. And that's the marketplace that's so wonderful about capitalism. You see, if the NFL doesn't adapt itself to the position of its fans, it will lose those fans. And we saw that on TV a few nights ago. On the other hand, if a league, any business for that matter, listens to their consumers and reacts to the consumers, they will continue. They will live on because they're reacting to the marketplace. I'm guessing some sports leagues are just better at this than others, and that's a bit unfortunate. And I suggest that the louder voice might happen in smarter ways. And I'll be right back.
Don't shut down this podcast. John Taffer will be right back.
Sitting here, and you know, I mentioned this a few weeks ago on his podcast, and I was watching some news shows even earlier today, doom and gloom about the restaurant industry. Oh, it's going to be terrible. Oh, you know, we're going to lose 85% of independent. And look, I've said a lot of these things on news shows myself these past few weeks, but you know what? The doom and gloom is starting to end now. And there are some statistical things going on in the restaurant industry that are pretty darn shocking. Some states and areas of America are tracking ahead of last year, not behind. So there's a lot of restaurant people and bar people that listen to this podcast. I wanted you to know what's really happening out there. You see, the news shows interview one or two restaurants and they tell you what they think is going on. I wanted to bring somebody on this podcast who actually knows what's going on. And that's my buddy, Jared Isaacman. Jared is CEO of a company called Shift4. They do over $2 billion in credit card transactions, mostly restaurants and hospitality. So Jared's company, Shift4, knows exactly what the sales were before this thing, by state, by zip code, by city. They know exactly what the sales volume is through their credit card processing. So they know what states are up, what states are down, what regions are hurting the most, which regions aren't, and they know it on a factual basis. And I suggest to you that the news channels are not doing the level of research that we're about to do together on this podcast. So I've asked Jared to come on, bring a bunch of his statistics and numbers, and tell us really what is truly happening in the restaurant industry. What states are ahead of last year, and there are some. What states are hurting the most? How did Hurricane Laura impact the business? How did the fires in California impact the business? And there's so much to talk about. So for the first time, I might be the first one in America to truly give you a factual, statistical analysis of what's going on in the restaurant business. So I'm so happy to welcome my good buddy, Jared Isaacman. We have so much to talk about, Jared. There's so much going on in the industry, and you actually know the data. And I'm so eager to get into it.
Hey, John, how you doing?
Good, buddy. So we were on the phone the other day just talking, catching up. Actually, we were texting. And you were sharing with me some of the information that you have with regard to sales statistics from state to state. And they were really fascinating to me because it's amazing, Jared. If you watch the news, you get the feeling that no restaurant is making money. Nobody's being successful. No state has increasing sales. And it's gloom, 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 gloom. But when we were talking the other day, there are some states that are really starting to come along and sales that are really starting to come along. So I was hoping you could share some of these statistics that you've seen the past few weeks with us.
Yeah, John, happy to. And I hope you're prepared. We got so much data. I mean, we started a website called shift4cares.com right in mid-March, kind of at the heart of the pandemic, its darkest periods, and everyone's locked up. And the idea is, we have so much transaction data. I mean, in 2019, we processed 200 billion in payments volume across what amounts to like 35% of the hotel and restaurant space. So we have a ton of data, and we created this site and we started refreshing it daily, and we drilled down to the zip code. And then we broke it up by industry type between restaurants, hotels, and other. And we originally did it obviously to raise awareness as to how bad the sector had been hit, in the heart of the COVID period. And then, every day as the recovery has happened, it's become really insightful. And honestly, it's quite encouraging in a lot of areas too, to see what's happening. So if we roll that forward to today, what's going on? There are absolutely states in the country right now where restaurant volume is higher than it was before COVID, higher than like Valentine's Day week. And those would be states like New Jersey and Connecticut. So there were a lot of commuters in those states that would have otherwise spent that volume in New York City. Now, New York City's volume is way down. I mean, they've done the best they can with outdoor dining, but I mean, a lot of the restaurants didn't even bother to reopen. And what's happened is a lot of those commuters who no longer need to go into New York have started spending locally like they'd never done before. And those states are totally shocking. And you have a lot of states in certain Midwest areas that are generally back to where they were before. They just never were hit that hard and have been able to reopen. And they don't have the same kind of restrictions on indoor dining like we do in some of the more urban areas.
So when you say back to where they were before, you're talking about general industry numbers. You're not getting in per category. So for example, fast food and QSR is doing well. The lines are huge. Other restaurants aren't doing as much penetration in to-go business. So you're saying overall revenues in some states are surprisingly high, but those revenues have been redistributed in some ways, haven't they?
Well, for sure. I mean, throughout the whole COVID period, you saw a big shift towards online ordering, takeout, and delivery. So, a kind of a simple way we categorize volume in our world is it card present or card not present? And really what that translates into is it in-venue dining or are they doing takeout, delivery, or something of that like? And for sure, during COVID, I mean, you went from 90% plus of transactions generally being in-venue for our customers, which is about 35% of the base, that shifted to 65% card not present. So you had a massive switch to it. Now, as states have reopened, that's started to, you know, normalize a little bit, but that is not back to how it was before. You're still talking a big distribution to take out delivery and online ordering.
Yeah. So when you look at a place like New Jersey, and it's fun to pick apart these numbers together.
Yeah.
When you look at a New Jersey, you say, wow, their numbers are up, but yet there's still a bunch of restaurants that have closed. So those numbers are up with lower capacity than they had pre-pandemic, which is actually encouraging for the ones that survived. Right, Jared?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, one thing I'd say, though, is in our data, you haven't really seen the numbers yet on just outright closures where they've canceled the service and said, I'm not coming back. They're all kind of struggling to find something, takeout, delivery. You know, they're doing the best they can. I'm actually like incredibly impressed how small business owners have been, you know, trying to adapt in this environment. For sure, in the areas where you have closures, other businesses have picked it up. That's happening. But I would say when I think about New Jersey and Connecticut generally, it's really the lack of commuting into New York City that's done the most for the local restaurants.
Right. So most of those business lunches that happened in Manhattan are now happening back at home because people are working at home. And are doing home deliveries and all of that for lunch. What other states have really done pretty strong comebacks?
Yeah, so a lot of the Midwestern states and Central U.S. have been doing pretty well. They've largely not been hit that much as a result of COVID. So you saw the initial spike with the stay-at-home orders in March and April. They started coming back pretty strong May, June, and then, you know, July. That's continued. Florida and Georgia have been Florida, Georgia, and Texas have been very strong almost the whole time. So they had a much more limited lockdown initially, and their consumers and patrons kind of re-engaged in commerce rather quickly. If you want something interesting, John, what we've started to look at week over week is the impact from the wildfires, you know, the fires that are happening on the West Coast right now. So Oregon right now is down 25% week over week. Wow. So, you know, we're probably all looking at some of those pictures in the news, how, you know, impactful these fires have been. They're almost like, you know, apocalyptic like scenes. It's having a toll on commerce right now across the entire West Coast. Virtually every state on the West Coast is down week over week in restaurant and hotel spend.
And then just a few weeks ago, we had Hurricane Laura, which, of course, impacted sales in Louisiana and eastern Texas.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, it's the amount of data we've been studying this so much because, I mean, we're living through such unprecedented times. I mean, we were able to see if it was raining out on a Thursday or Friday, restaurant sales down. I mean, you, when you're dealing with so much outdoor dining, you know, the impact on the weather pattern is having a material impact on these small business owners.
Yeah, interesting. So how's California doing?
So California is okay. It did have a setback in the last week. So it's down, I want to say, about 8% week over week. And that's, you know, we're largely attributing it to the impact of the fires and such.
Yeah. Before the fires, were you seeing growth in California?
It was coming back, yes. So they were down longer than most. I mean, they had some pretty tight restrictions in terms of commerce. So they were not coming back anywhere near as quickly as the Midwest or the Southeast was. I'd say they were pretty much on par with kind of like, generally like upstate New York and such is when they started to come back to life a little bit. They are not back to pre-pandemic levels, of course. They're a lot closer to New York, which is, you know, a state that's still suffering relative to some of the other states that are out there.
Yeah. So approximately, how much is New York down? Like 70, 80%? Is it that big a number?
It's like 65%, but keep in mind that's with a lot of parts of the state that are doing okay. So New York City is less than that. New York City is down pretty bad at this point.
Wow, fascinating. So when you look at the kind of trends, fires aside, hurricane aside, when you look at the kind of COVID trends, when you've seen the restrictions start to lift, Jared, you know, I've been talking for months, of course, on the news, and I know you've seen a lot of them, where I've talked about the thirds, that one third of the population is going to come out pretty quickly. They're younger, they're sort of fearless. And then the second third of the population, I call the reserved third. They'll come out after they watch for a few weeks and things look a little safe to them. Then they'll start to come out. And then the third third, I call the certain third. They're not going anywhere until there's a vaccine. But that third has a lot of disposable income. And that third really sort of feeds the luxury sector of the business. So all that being said, with the thirds and the way people are starting to come back to such a disrupted marketplace, can you guess when the restrictions are lifted and people start going out again, what type of growth pattern are you seeing in the restaurants? Is it 6% a month, 8% a month? Is there any data that allows you to make a guess in that kind of growth?
I'll tell you, John, your numbers are pretty solid. So maybe you have a private feed for some of the data that we have. I don't know, but we're actually, what we think is still kind of held back is almost right there with your third. It's about 30% that we think is still kind of held in reserve across the restaurant and the hospitality space. Now, when you break it down, it falls into a lot of categories. Business travelers is a huge element. Like, New York City is not coming back to life until you have a lot more business activity that's happening. Yep. So, you know, maybe that's their reserve because they're waiting for certainty, as you described, in terms of vaccine. Some of it is just their companies aren't sending people to places. They're not having conferences. You know, those business lunches aren't happening. That's what's really impacting the hotel market right now. Because interesting enough, this past weekend, if you wanted to book a hotel anywhere near a national park, it wasn't happening. So like, there is an element of the consumers that are out absolutely traveling. They're going out. They want to see the sights and enjoy the scenery before it goes away. But if it's a hotel or restaurant or a city that's very dependent on business related travel, it's impacted pretty significantly. And we're estimating that right around about 30% of volume that we're not seeing across those kind of coverage areas.
Wow. You know, when we look at destination markets like Vegas, my hometown, of course, and you're in Vegas all the time, buddy, and you have accounts in Vegas, you know those numbers pretty well too. Miami lost their season, didn't they, pretty much this year as far as a tourist season?
Yeah, Miami specifically had decent volume locally. Florida was one of the best states to fare through, at least in terms of the data we track. It was one of the better states to kind of work through the crisis. Now, maybe that's because it's easy to drive to also, so you didn't necessarily have to fly to it. But Florida did really well from a commerce perspective. I mean, I'm not commenting, you know, on the virus one way or the other, but Florida did okay. I don't think they suffered anywhere near as much in terms of a destination location as Vegas. Yeah. I mean, Vegas obviously hit really hard. And that is certainly, you have it totally spot on in terms of the category of people that are reengaging in like the Vegas market. Fearless, want to go out, enjoy themselves, but you have no business travel there whatsoever. And none of the people you would put in your, your certain camp, they're not going to Vegas right now.
Yeah. So I'm talking to you now. I'm outside Atlanta. And you know, I'm opening Taffer's Tavern down here, which is filled with Jared's technology. And when we put the safe dining system together, there's a lot of transactional aspects of it to really assure safety. And, you know, Jared and Shift4 Payments has been on the cutting edge of creating those technologies. So it was amazing, Jared, to take your technology and infuse them into our safe dining environment. It's been incredible. But I want to be selfish for a minute. I'm sitting here, I'm opening a restaurant in Georgia in 3 weeks in Alpharetta, Georgia. How are the numbers down here looking?
Yeah, so Georgia's been okay too. So that was the first state, at least from a, you know, the headlines perspective, that really reopened. And it was obviously very apparent. I mean, when you're looking at $200 billion in volume across, you know, a 2 billion plus transactions, any little change or tweak in any regulatory requirement or either weather pattern, we're gonna see it in the data. So Georgia was coming back to life, I think, really faster than any other state, just based on when they loosened restrictions. So I think you picked a good state in order to open your property. I also want to make sure that you get proper credit here because you gave us some nice compliments about our technology, and we do have some cool stuff with contactless and QR codes. But a lot of what does make it special, what's going to make your business very special, is the technology ideas that you gave us to implement for you. So you get a lot of that credit, John.
Well, thank you, buddy. So, you know, what's wonderful about this conversation, Jared, is there's encouragement in this conversation for restaurant owners. There's inspiration in this conversation. There's motivation. That's why it was so important to me to have you on. So if you're in Georgia, there's opportunity now. If you're in Texas, there's opportunity now. So we're seeing things coming back now. So restaurateurs that are listening to this and people in the business that are listening to this, hang in there. Because what's going to happen, I believe, Jared, is as soon as we get the vaccine, which is a couple months out, 3-4 months out, as soon as we get that vaccine, I believe the next thing people are going to do is go to dinner. They're going to get their vaccine and they're going to go to dinner. And I think there's going to be a boom and people are going to want to go out again. Now, I'm expecting this boom in February, March, right? As the vaccine gets implemented and people start to feel safer. And capacity is going to be lower because we are going to lose some restaurants in this deal. So those that are hanging in there, hang in there. It's worth it. When we come out the other side of this, I see huge opportunity. Do you?
Absolutely, John. And you're totally correct on that. There is a lot of pent-up demand. There's no doubt. Everybody you talk to is just can't wait for this to go over. And the first thing they want to do is get with their lives again. And that means going out and socializing. And you know, you really nailed it on kind of just the encouraging tone. Like, we're not having this dark and bleak conversation right now. You know, we had our IPO on the New York Stock Exchange on June 5th. We're the first company to go back in the New York Stock Exchange since they opened and ring the bell. And, you know, a lot of people were asking us, wow, you're a payments company that focuses on hotels and restaurants in the middle of a pandemic. What is this supposed to say right now? And I said, this is encouraging, guys. This is like goes to the heart of the American spirit and the small business owners out there who you've been a great advocate for, John, who have pushed to adapt to survive in this environment, online ordering and takeout and contactless, to persevere and overcome. I mean, it's definitely got its sad moments in there too, but we're on the upswing from this. It is very encouraging.
I agree, buddy. And you know, great marketers are going to bubble to the top now, and great operators are going to bubble to the top, and great technology leaders like your company are going to bubble to the top. So I think we'll lose some legacy brands. New brands will become legacy brands, and there's going to be a really dynamic shift in the marketplace that, you know, Jared, people are hurting now, so I hate to sound too positive, but I just am. And, you know, just like people, when you did your IPO, congratulations, by the way, when you did your IPO, people were saying to me, John, you're opening the first Taffer's Tavern in the middle of a pandemic. Aren't you worried? The answer is I'm not. I'm very bullish on where we're going. And I see that you are too, buddy.
Yep.
Yeah. So this was a good talk. Anything else in the numbers that you know, I don't know enough to ask you about that's worthy of mentioning?
Oh, geez. You know, I think we touched on an awful lot of them.
Are there any differences in transaction amounts? Have you seen any movement in that?
Yeah, that's a great question, John. The average ticket size has come down a little bit. And we do attribute a lot of that to the lack of, you know, alcohol and wine sales. You know, a business can adapt, do takeout orders, but you're not doing a takeout bottle of wine. And I give a lot of credit to the restaurants who've tried, and they've definitely got some revenue from it. But it's a lot harder to get some of that high margin, high, you know, stuff that increases ticket sizes that you'd have in a restaurant. And even a lot of bars are not open too, where it's just a pure bar traffic. So you lose some of that spend also.
Yeah. So what is the spend drop? Maybe 20% or so? Would you guess?
I think it's a little less. When we look at average ticket size, it's probably somewhere closer to 15%, but it has moved down.
Gotcha. Well, buddy, this has been wonderful. Thank you for taking the time. I know how busy you are, especially post-IPO, and there's so much going on at your company. But, you know, Jared runs a great company, Shift4, wonderful POS line. Where is the best website for people to learn more about your company and you?
Yeah, I mean, I would go to shift4.com. So S-H-I-F-T and then the number 4.com, and you can learn all about us.
And also shift4cares.com still has relevant data on it as well, and it's being updated all the time as well.
Every day it gets updated, and you can buy gift cards on Shift4Cares for a lot of your local restaurants. And that's a good way to help them out right now too.
Yep. And you are adding a premium to those gift card purchases, if I'm not mistaken.
We are. If you buy a gift card for $100, that business is getting $105, and Shift4 is footing the bill on the $5. And
wow, that's wonderful.
Sold a lot of gift cards over the last, you know, several months too.
So. Yeah. It's a great program, buddy. You've got a great company. I'm proud to call you my friend, Jared.
Thank you, John. And I wish you all the best with the new tavern. I'm looking forward to coming down and seeing you.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to seeing you. Take care, buddy. We'll talk soon.
Take care, John. See
you. Don't shut down this podcast. John Taffer will be right back.
Having Jared on was an eye-opener, I'm guessing, for all of us. To think that restaurants in New Jersey are tracking ahead of last year. Restaurants in Connecticut are tracking ahead of last year. Restaurants in Texas are getting damn close to last year. So it isn't all doom and gloom. And if you're in a restaurant or a bar industry, listen to my words very carefully right now. In a few months, there's going to be a boom. there's going to be a great opportunity. Customers are going to come back, as Jared and I talked about, and there's going to be less restaurant capacity when they do, because some restaurants and bars are going to close. We know that. So if you can hang in there for another 3 months, cut a deal with the landlord. If you're in any small business, do what you need to do to get past the next 90 days. If you got to close, close and save your money and reopen in 90 days. But there was good news in this podcast today, wasn't there? It's a positive outlook of where this industry is going, and we're going in the right direction right now. So I suggest that whatever economics are in place, they're working. We're growing. We're getting back to where we need to be. I suggest the policies that are in place on a federal basis are working. So things are positive, and there's a lot of good news out there. So I want to talk to you guys next week. I want to talk to you, some of you in New Jersey, some of you in Connecticut. I'd love to hear from somebody whose business is up. I'd love to hear from restaurants who have figured out how to make money during this, because there's a lot of good news out here, and we're starting to come out of this thing now. Matter of fact, one pharmaceutical company announced a vaccine in production and distribution before the end of the year, Corey. And I've said this before on this podcast, and I'm going to say it now as I say goodbye. The next thing we are going to do after we get that vaccine is go to dinner. So there's a huge opportunity out there. It's going to be boomtown. The restaurant industry is going to have less seats, less capacity, and as many customers as we've ever had. So if you're in this business, hang in there, watch your dimes, cut deals with your landlord, do what you need to do to get to the end of the year, because I think next year is going to be one of the biggest growth years in the history of our industry and maybe our country, and I can't freaking wait. We'll talk to you all next week. Bye-bye.
Subscribe to the John Tapper Podcast right now for more episodes every Thursday.